Tucked away in a grove of pine trees in the northeast corner of Alabama is Liberty Baptist Church. It's been in the town of Henniger since 1893, and for those 110 years, its walls have cradled the sound of sacred harp singing.
How long, dear Savior, oh, how long shall this bright hour delay?
Fly swift around,
it will sometime.
There's no harp in sacred harp singing, no instruments at all, just the power of voice in four-part harmony.
From the third heaven where God resides, that holy, happy place.
This music goes back hundreds of years to England. It migrated to colonial New England, then moved south, and it's in the South that sacred harp music took root.
As far back as when I was a little bitty kid. See, we sang this here in the church all the time.
Right here.
That's all we've ever used at the church here.
Coy Ivy is 69 and a farmer. He's met us at the church along with two of his sons, Rodney and David. Both were taught to sing sacred harp when they were little.
5 or 6, I guess. Going to singing schools at 8 and 10 year old. Our grandpa used to bring us.
And I remember the same way. I can remember being very young, just sitting by my dad, and he would point out the notes on the page and sort of give him a punch me and say, I don't want to hear you sing now. And he'd want to make sure we would sing out so he could hear us.
You can't just sort of mumble along?
Well, it's what I call you sing with your full voice. You know, we don't try to sing overly loud, but it's not a real delicate, quiet type of singing either.
The songs come from a tune book first published in 1844, and the notes on the staff look different. They're printed as shapes that correspond with a four-syllable system. Fa is a triangle, sol an oval, la a square, and mi a diamond. It's a technique from the 19th century to help untrained singers learn to read music. Before they sing the words, sacred harp singers will still sing the notes, the fa, sol, las, to imprint the tune.
Fa, sol, la, fa, sol, sol, fa, la, fa, la, sol, fa, la, sol.
These are hymns and odes and anthems. Some have religious words set to secular tunes. The singers say, why should the devil have all the fun? And if gospel music soars in other churches, not here. Sacred harp is a whole other thing. Coy Ivy remembers a time when the church deacons tried to mix the two. They let a group move a piano into Liberty Baptist for Sunday school, so long as it didn't interfere with sacred harp singing.
And I can remember walking outside around here and waiting on them to get through with their singing school. And we got into church at 11 o'clock, so we used to start at 9:30 to 10. And I can remember that that was the last weekend that the piano was in the church. They moved it out that week. And it's been sacred harp ever since. I mean, that little group moved out, started them a church somewhere else.
It just didn't take here.
And I'm sure if they would have let it stay in the church, you know, and all that stuff, we probably wouldn't even have had sacred harp singing here now.
Really?
More than likely.
Down the road at Coy Ivy's farm, it's time to load up the car.
I may have to get you to load this for me, David. You're more used to packing than I am.
I can pack it in here. I've already helped pack the bread better.
They stack plastic tubs of coleslaw, 20 loaves of bread, and 2 huge trays of Coy Ivy's famous barbecue.
How many pounds do you have?
Barbecue, about 50 pounds after I cooked it out. I cooked 100 pounds of roast.
The whole Ivy family is heading down to Birmingham for the Alabama State Sacred Harp Singing. It's held every year the fourth weekend in November. The singing will last 2 days. More than 100 singers, all gathered at Mount Pleasant Home Primitive Baptist Church.
Well, hi there.
How you doing?
Yeah, it's so good to see you.
The singing starts with a prayer at 9 in the morning. It'll go till 3 in the afternoon.
Gracious Lord, we want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege once again of gathering together and singing these songs of praise, these songs of old, these songs of heritage.
The singers sit facing each other along 4 sides of a hollow square. One by one, singers are called into the center to lead. Each singer calls out the page number of the song he wants to lead.
There's 77 on the top.
And from then on, the singing rolls and ripples through the church. One song and leader followed right away by the next. They'll sing almost 100 songs before the day is through, not for an audience, just for themselves. This is full-body, shouted-out singing. Around the room, mouths stretch open wide. The harmonies are stark and haunting, raw even. In Sacred Harp, you don't want a sweet sound.
I understand that this is not beautiful music in the traditional sense of that word. It is powerful music.
Bass singer Henry Johnson says it's so powerful, it can transport you.
Everybody who sings this has that experience. Anybody you talk to, you say, aren't there times when you go to a singing that you just seem to float up off your seat, or you get that intense joy and elation while you sing? And they'll say, yeah.
The room vibrates with sound. It rises up into your feet, pulses through the floor. You can feel it buzzing through the tune book in your hands. Singer Buell Cobb says the best acoustic setting is a simple country church with hard floors and pine walls that fold the sound back on the singers.
You realize that you have this great instrument, you know, at your call, all those pipes. It is just an amazing sound to be in the center of that. I've been at singings, too, when you actually could feel the sound waves from your fellow singers so strongly it almost seems at times you could stand up and walk on them. It's very powerful.
All right, don't care to sing it
in the center of the square, the leader marks time with a small, precise up-and-down motion of the hand, some with a finger outstretched, others slice through the air with a flat palm held vertical. Around the room, the other singer's arms move in rhythm, too, propelling the music forward. When he's not tending to his barbecue downstairs, Coy Ivy stands in the back of the church. His hand measures out the beats, but he doesn't sing much. And that's a big change for this man, who's a legend in the Sacred Harp community. Rodney Ivy explains that a few years ago, his father became almost completely deaf.
After he lost his hearing, the first time he got up to lead, he could not hear us, and he had to quit. And that was real hard on the whole bunch. That just about was heartbreaking. Now he's learned to watch us and pick up and sing on, but it's been real hard for him over the years, the way he used to sit up there and sing like I did. Me and him and David would sit on the front and sing, all three of us. Now then, he don't get to. Every once in a while, he'll feel good and get up there with us.
Coy Ivy, before I'm in the shade.
And today, Papa Coy decides to lead. He picks page 384, Panting for Heaven. People will tell you, when Coy Ivy leads, they really sing. A Sacred Harp singing wouldn't be a singing without what's called dinner on the grounds. Everybody brings a dish for a big lunch. Today there's fried chicken, Coy Ivy's barbecue, deviled eggs, creamed corn, pear salad, butter beans, rows and rows of pies, and of course, Bud Oliver's lemonade.
This lemonade thing was handed down to us from our ancestors. Even before the days of having ice, we'd get fresh water right up out of a deep well, and of course it would be cool. It was a treat because we were all poor people, and that lemonade, that was a treat for us.
Tradition thrives here, but look around the room and you'll see that tradition stretching. Most of the singers here are from Alabama and the South, but there's also new blood, singers from as far away as Chicago and Seattle, Ann Arbor and Providence. The Northerners are welcome here, their well-known faces and voices by now, helping keep alive a folk tradition. But there is a bit of tension. One visitor's nose ring gets a few comments. Shelby Shepherd, who met her husband at a singing 48 years ago, has strong feelings about maintaining the Sacred Harp tradition in the proper way.
I stress and I get very upset about people that sings this music as a folk music. It is not a folk music. It is a religious music, and your appearance inside the square reflects what this music means to you. If you get up there and jump around and sling your arms this way and that way, and to me that is irreverent.
Kshama Ananthapura has traveled to Birmingham from Hadley, Massachusetts. She comes to singings in Alabama all the time.
I fell in love with the music first. You know, I didn't much care for the words at all in the beginning, you know. But when you sing it over and over again, you know, it takes on a meaning of its own. And if you can get past the fact that it's religious music. I sing with Jewish girls. I sing with people that really don't have a faith. And I'm a Hindu from India. You know, all of us sing this with equal joy. They love it as much as the next person.
Sacred Harp singing is also getting new voice in Hollywood. The movie Cold Mountain, set during the Civil War, will include Sacred Harp music, recorded in Henniger at Liberty Baptist Church. There are plans for a Sacred Harp CD to go along with the movie. All the exposure could be a good thing, or maybe not. Buell Cobb has written a book about the history of Sacred Harp.
I think a good many thoughtful people in the Sacred Harp community are wondering whether the new attention that's coming to the Sacred Harp will represent a threat that a tradition that has been sculpted so gracefully by time over the decades could be trampled. By being commercialized, it could lose its center. For me, at least, it's worth the risk.
That center of Sacred Harp will remain with families like the Ivies in Alabama.
There's a saying that all the time you spend Sacred Harp is not taken away from your life. You know, that adds to your life.
Is it an exhausting thing at the end of a full singing?
Very exhausting.
It is.
You're just give out after all day of singing.
Just like working hard. When you sing hard all day, it takes a lot out of you.
I bet.
About years ago when I was used to go a lot, didn't many churches have air conditioning, you know, back then. So we'd raise the windows up, get a little air stirring through there, and you'd sit there and sing all day and be wringing wet with sweat. The hotter you got, the better you could sing.
You can learn more about Sacred Harp singing at our website, npr.org. This is All Things Considered from NPR News.